Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball playoffs have started. We've got a good one in Cleveland. Tigers lead the Guardians 2-1. Eighth inning. Orioles season is over. They finished 75-87. And let's
one fewer win than Bordy Sacktown Ace.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Bordy's he's
the, yeah, but I mean Bordy. He's got the A's.
He's got
A's
club. He's also
came
Orioles
up,
Hall.
Came up with the
yes.
A's.
He's also an Oriole Hall of Famer.
Oriole Hall of Famer.
Yes. So he's got Orioles in his
best
blood
of both
too.
Worlds.
Yes. And he joins us now, courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. So Bordy, obviously a disappointing season. We'll get to what we heard. Some of what we heard yesterday in a minute. But are you feeling optimism about next year based on how they finished?
That's a no.
I mean, why?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're an optimistic guy, so I had to ask.
But, no. Now, listen, I feel good about what some of the young players did. I mean, I'm happy as heck for Dylan Beavers. Are you
sure.
kidding me? What a great, you know, comeback for him. And, of course, some of the other guys really stepped up. I love how Kobe Mayo finished the season, which makes me want to think he's more of a trade piece now. So, listen, they've got so much work to do this offseason as far as – and it is, man. They say, oh, no, we're just kind of retooling. It's a rebuild right here. Yeah, you got a couple guys. You got Westberg. You got freaking Gunnar Henderson and Jackson Holliday. But I'll tell you what, you need a whole new bullpen. You need, you know, a couple starting pitchers. And I don't know about you, but I'm not a big fan of our outfield right now.
No.
So maybe a couple outfielders. So there's a lot of work to be done.
Adley will be healthy.
But on an individual basis, I think there were a couple guys that, yeah, I mean, I was happy with Gunnar's season, Jackson Holliday. You know, now it's just a matter of, I don't know, are they playing for a world championship next year?
They just want to compete in the division. That's what Elias said.
Okay, well, because I think every Oriole fan wants them to come out and say, listen, we are going to be top 10 in payroll next year.
Nope.
Let's go. I don't think that's
going to happen. Well, Bordy, I'm sure you paid attention to these two press conferences. A, the interim skipper getting that forum to say what he says and then have the team president come in and amplify it all. Like, I found the optics of that quite interesting and revealing. Then you've got Manzolino taking a victory lap, saying, patting himself on the back, I thought I did a heck of a job under the circumstances. And then you've got them both saying, no, we've got leaders here. Even though everybody in that clubhouse, including people like Westberg, have said we don't have leaders, them saying, no, you don't see what we see. Everything's pretty much fine here. Like, did any of that, were you taken aback by any of this?
A little bit. I think Manzo being up there makes me lean towards Manzo being the manager next year. And I personally don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
No, I know there's some arguments. And I'll tell you why. I think the relationship with the young players seems to be the most important factor right now. When Elias talks about his young players, he is trying to protect them. So he doesn't want an old salty dude coming in and screaming on these guys, forcing them to hustle, forcing them to do a pre-pitch every time, forcing them to go first and third, pulling them out when they don't throw to the wrong base. He doesn't want that. That's way too much for this modern-day player. There has to be a relationship, a trust where you can talk to guys and communicate on a you know, more mature level. And I think, and I'm not making light of that, I think it's really important. It really is. So, and that's why I think they're going to stick with Manzolino, because the young guys have already come out and said in the media that they love Manzo. They trust him. They've got a great relationship with him. They play hard for him.
But how? Where's that gotten them? They get worse as the season goes on. Their fundamentals erode.
Well,
like,
they didn't, though. Manzo's record was over 500. I thought they played a better brand of baseball, to be honest with you. And I think he did it with a scrap heap of players. I think the hardest way to judge a manager, or the easiest way to judge a manager, is by how he handles the bullpen. If you can make any kind of heads or tails over what that bullpen was and what Manzolino was trying to do with it, he was just trying to put out an arm that was going to be successful that night. There was no rhyme or reason, because it was just a crap show every night with the bullpen. You couldn't trust anybody, and he was just flying by the seat of his pants, which any manager, I think, would have done in that case. You stack him up with hopefully a nice little three-headed monster back there, and a couple nice arms, bridge guys in the bullpen, which is what they're going to have to do if they want to compete, and then see how he manages that situation there. So it always comes down to when you take your starter out and how you use your bullpen for a manager. I think the in-game decisions, you only make situational choices. I guess you're going to have to next year with the automated pitcher ball strike system, but in the 10th inning, you may have to make a situational choice. So I'm not making light of it. There are more decisions than that in a ball game, but typically a manager gets judged on how he runs that bullpen.
Bordy Mantzolino talked a lot in the final couple weeks of the season about the top priority for this team in 2026 is getting these young hitters right. Mike Elias, he was asked about the hitting philosophies involving this young core. Reality is they scored the fewest runs in baseball following the trade deadline. Can this young group bounce back next year, or is this just who they are?
Well, I hope so. And I think if they added three more hitting coaches, that might help.
Yeah, there you go.
No, it's really, I just feel like young hitters, so much information, so many voices. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're stepping up there with way too much stuff in their head. As a guy that I loved information as a hitter, but there can be too much. And ultimately, every hitter tries to simplify the game, not make it complicated. Okay, so you want to increase your bat speed, this and that, but you're striking out more. Okay, well, screw the bat speed. I just got to make contact. Okay, how about that? And become a good hitter. We are seeing right before our eyes the teams that are in the playoffs, and I would not be surprised, the team that probably goes the furthest in the playoffs, these teams are making more contact. They're not striking out as much. They're getting on base. They're creating opportunities offensively. The strikeout is so bad for baseball.
We're great at it.
You want to be a successful team. So it seems like it could be an easier adjustment. Instead of having hitting coaches that are teaching guys how to swing, how about teach them how to hit the stinking baseball and make things happen? The Guardians are in the playoffs because of that, not because of home runs, just because they put the ball in play, period. That's it.
Bordy, before I let you go, I am curious to get your thoughts on the Adley Rutschman of it all. And they spent a long time a year ago denying that he was dealing with anything injury-related at the end of the previous season. Now Mike Elias in the presser yesterday said, yeah, he had some hand stuff and some other stuff that was going on in that season. Are you confident at all that Adley Rutschman can get back to what he was 2 years ago? Oh, and they were pumping him as a defensive catcher, which I don't see that.
Can't throw anybody out.
Well, I do. I mean, I think Adley can be a good hitter. I do. I know. I felt bad for him early in the season. It seemed like he was hitting line drives right at people. So we were waiting on the hits to start falling. He needs adjustments, that's for sure, in his swing. It gets long. It gets a little lazy sometimes. He's got a lot of things going on in his lower body. See, this is the thing. When I see some of these hitters go up there like a Colton Cowser, Adley, the movement is just way too much to try to square up a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. The heads are moving around too much. So those kind of things, those mechanical things, I feel like can get cleaned up. So I expect Adley to be a more consistent player. He's got to be, man. Golly, if he has another tough year, then I mean, he's borderline bust right now, so he's got to step up, man, or he might not be around next year.
Mike Bordick, I hope you're around every week when we get to talk to you because it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, as always.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me, sir. Enjoy the postseason.
Thank you, sir. Hey, coming up next, speaking of the postseason, are Twib Notes, and we'll hear from Stephen Vogt, the manager of the Guardians. We'll hear from Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, and we'll preview these playoffs. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next year on the Fan.
I'm just so proud of them. I think anything and everything happened to them throughout this year. They've been punched and kicked and beaten down, and they've just gotten closer. And so you can call it magic. We can call it whatever we want. If anybody figures it out, let me know. But I just couldn't be more proud of them. And I think they know what they can accomplish. And however it happened, the route that it got here, they won the division. These guys went out and won the division. And
so that's Stephen Vogt, manager of the Cleveland Guardians. They were 15 and a half games out in July, came back to overtake the Tigers. So they have home field in this first round, and Tarek Skubal just was removed from the game. He's gone 7 2/3, 14 strikeouts. Tigers lead 2-1.
We're probably going to look at a fake manager search here because they're acting like this gym coach accomplished something. Who's got? You hear people talk about the Cleveland Guardians core? Have you ever heard that?
I have not. Core. They do have Jose Ramirez,
who's
a bulldozer.
Yeah, they've got two guys out of like the 12 who lead them in plate appearances who have like an OPS above league average.
Yeah. I like Stephen,
but
Kwan,
they play their asses off and they scrap. And you know what they do? They know how to run the bases. They know how to field their positions. Like, if you want to, and I respect Bordy, but this team got better because they got healthier starting pitching, which has nothing to do with the skipper whatsoever. But this idea that, like, we're sitting here talking about, why do all these young kids get worse? Why are they all regressing? Why does the culture suck so bad? Why are they always whining about we don't have any leaders and we don't know how to be alphas? And here's a Guardians team that comes out of nowhere that could have quit a long time ago that accomplishes this. But we don't need a Stephen Vogt type. We don't need to go get a real manager. We're just going to stick with this guy because the GM who sucks at his job is comfortable with him. And a bunch of kids who have never stood up to any adversity really like him. What are we doing?
It just wouldn't make any sense to roll with Mancino. And even if you want to say, okay, finish with a winning record, that's all fine. You need something to shake up the culture inside this clubhouse because it has been a nosedive going back to June 21st, you coming back last year from the Bronx, Jason. This isn't a blip. This, like, this offense was a failure this year. They scored the lowest amount of runs after the deadline. You need something to shake this up in the clubhouse, not run it back with what you just had.
Nothing to see here, Bone.
Keep your eye on baseball.
Yeah.
Don't get fooled by the pablum they sell you in the warehouse. Watch these teams, and you tell me how many of them have 4 and 5 kids who were taken fifth in the top 5 picks of a draft. Like, you tell me how many of these GMs take verbal victory laps, like, we've liftoff and now we're going and I've got to look at what we're doing. He's even crowing about his farm system now. Well, I think we're a top 10 farm system again. But yeah, let's see how many of them develop at the major league level.
We'll get to the National League in a minute. Yankees and Red Sox are the other American League playoff game. That's a 6 o'clock start this evening. And Aaron Boone, the manager of the Yankees, talks about his opposing manager, Alex Cora.
I think he's really good. I think they play the game within the game really well. You know, I think he's a really good leader. I think his team, you know, kind of embodies who he is. And I think he does a really good job of helping set and define the culture over there. That, and obviously, you know, they've gone through a couple of tough years, but, you know, he's always been the clear leader of that group. And you started to see it come together a little bit last year, I felt like. And now, you know, obviously this year, after, you know, a little bit of an uneven start, they've, you know, they've really become obviously a very good team and one of the best teams in the league here the second half of the year. And but I think a lot of people saw it coming too, contrary to what, you know, I think he's played the little engine that could over there a little bit. I think a lot of people knew the Red Sox were coming this year. So, but I think he's one of the game's really good ones.
Garrett Crochet and Max Fried, your pitching matchup tonight. Remember, a best of three in this round, and all three games will be in the same park. So all three at Yankee Stadium. Who do you like?
Well, he's got to talk them up because they own him. So yeah. He's got to talk up the Red Sox because he can't beat the Red Sox. This can be an interesting series. Both these teams have major deficiencies defensively. I think the Red Sox clearly have a major advantage in the bullpen. And in these super short series, that could end up being everything. And so I also think they've got the better manager. And I'm old enough to remember Aaron Judge getting booed in the Bronx because he doesn't hit in October.
Yeah, and Yankees bullpen, they got the worst bullpen ERA out of everybody in the playoffs right now. And it was funny hearing Boone's comments saying, hey, yeah, everyone thought they were going to be here. Because Cora, what was it, last week, saying, oh, no one thought we were going to make the playoffs. Look at us. Like, we're playing with house money at this point. And you're right. They've had the Yankees number.
National League playoffs. Padres and Cubs just started scoreless in the second inning. That's an interesting series. Padres, I see a lot of people picking the Padres to come out of the National League.
Well, Cubs pitching is not good. I mean, Horton is hurt. They obviously lost Steele very early in the year. Imanaga has an exceedingly high fly ball rate and has been, there's some sort of worries about him. PCA and Suzuki didn't have the second halves that they had in the first half. And Matthew Boyd has come back to earth in a big way. Now, saying all that, Padres didn't really hit the ball the way people thought they would, but they do have a plus-plus bullpen. Both these teams have really good bullpens.
Yeah.
I guess it's the wind's supposed to be blowing in kind of sort of all week there, so I don't know that the ball's going to carry as much. I think the Padres win this series.
The Reds have any chance against the Dodgers?
Well, if they do, need 7 or 8 out of Hunter Green tonight, and that could happen. That could happen. Dodgers don't have a bullpen. Dodgers dealing with some injuries.
It'll be interesting. If the Dodgers face some adversity, if they're in an early hole, and like you said, Jason, if Hunter Green's dealing, because that series, all the pressure's on the Dodgers.
I'll say this. If that series was in Cincinnati, I would be on the Reds. Because the Dodgers stink on the road, and Cincinnati's pitchers know how to pitch in that park, which is, I mean, that's a bandbox. It's tough. But I bet it's a little bit of a struggle for the Dodgers. I don't think they're going to win. You know, it's not going to be 5-0 and 7-0 or anything like that. I think it's interesting they're going with Snell in game one and not Yamamoto.
We've got 4 games today, 4 games tomorrow, and then we'll see what it looks like on Thursday. Because remember, best out of 3, team sweep, they don't have games on Thursday. Alas, we will keep you abreast of what's going on in the MLB playoffs. Coming up next, though, back to the Ravens. And Brian Wacker, a friend from the Baltimore Sun, covers the Ravens, says Lamar Jackson unlikely to play Sunday, probably going to miss 2 to 3 weeks. Can the Ravens beat the Texans without Lamar Jackson? We'll answer that question next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens will be back on the practice field tomorrow getting ready for the Houston Texans. And if Brian Wacker's sources are to be believed, and I think they are, then Lamar Jackson will not be out there because he's unlikely to play Sunday. And it looks like he might miss 2 to 3 weeks with this hamstring injury. The Texans come into this game 1-3. It seems pretty clear the defense is good. The most points they've given up in a game is 20, the Buccaneers, and that was, a end-of-the-game drive to get to 20. So other than that, gave a 14 to the Rams, 17 to the Jags, and shut out the Titans this weekend. So with that, can the Ravens beat the Texans without Lamar Jackson at home?
I mean, they can, but I don't think this is anything close to a layup. The Texans have had no explosion offensively. C.J. Stroud in his career has not been good on the road. This new offensive coordinator has no idea what he's doing. Like, they've got major, major issues. If they go off offensively whatsoever, people should be fired. Like, people should be fired. Like, they've got one receiver who kind of does stuff. The Nico other Collins, receiver's yeah. hurt. Like, they got a rookie running the ball a little bit now, but it is a bad offensive line. If they don't get any pressure against them, I don't think they're going to. Like, it will be the most damning indictment yet of exactly what they're working with over there. And, like, I think it's going to be a struggle. I think it's going to be an ugly defensive game. I think they're going to have some serious issues sustaining drives if Derrick Henry can't just run all over them. And D'Amico Ryans is like, and I know you could tell me, well, they knew it was coming when they played around Christmas last year, or when it might have been on Christmas, and they couldn't stop it. And I'm going to say, well, yeah, but that was with Lamar, and that was with Ricard, and that was with Ronnie Stanley. And this ain't that.
Well, focusing on the Texans offense, and C.J. Stroud has been horrific against the Ravens in three games. The Texans have not scored a touchdown in three games against the Ravens, C.J. Stroud going back to his rookie year. And that Christmas game was embarrassing.
Yeah.
C.J. Stroud was horrible in that football game. And this offense, not much, 31st in red zone, 31st in third down, yards per play. 20.
Well, remember, the guy who made it go was Mixon, and he did something in the offseason, and they won't talk about it, and he won't talk about it, but it's on the NFI, and he's
not coming back anytime soon.
And I'm with you, Jason, even with this defense, with how bad it has been and how it's going to be compromised because of the injuries that they sustained on Sunday. You got to show a pulse this week, man. Like, you got to bow up a little bit. And offensively, this is going to be a throwback Ravens game. Prior to Lamar, like, this is going to be an ugly, ugly football game that the Ravens are going to have to just find a way to win it. And it is going to be leaning on Derrick Henry, who I expect to have more than 20 carries in this football game. You're going to have to be good on third down. You're going to have to take advantage of those red zone opportunities. This is a by any means necessary game. They got to find a way.
Well, and it's interesting too, because, and we all like the Cooper Rush move,
uh-huh.
but it is a zig to a zag where they used to like to have a skill set in the quarterback that could at least
keep the offense
Lamar light, so we could still fool you with misdirection with the quarterback maybe keeping it. We could play around with the mesh point. I'm not saying that he's completely unathletic, but if you're doing that, then no one's respecting Cooper Rush keeping it and taking it 8 yards, let alone, you know,
maybe have 25. Some plays for Tyler Huntley.
I think it might be all hands on deck. I think it could be Keaton Mitchell involved. I think it could be, some plays for Huntley. Like, they've got to find a way to score one more point than the Texans.
Points appropriate here.
And what they really have to do is find a way not to hand point to the Texans. And they've got a corner who can pick you and take you to the house. They've got a couple of kids off the edge who can strip, sack, fumble, take it to the house. What they really can't do is give away points offensively.
That's the biggest thing. You can't lose the turnover battle. You can't lose the turnover battle on Sunday. If you have two turnovers like you did against Kansas City, you're not winning this football game. You have to be mistake-free in that way. Are you going to punt the ball a lot? Probably. Jordan Stout's going to get the leg loosened up this week because I'm sure he's going to be used. But you cannot beat yourself with the procedure penalties that we saw and making it that much harder to convert first downs.
What the Texans do have is two really good pass rushers, two really good edge rushers. Will Anderson has 3 sacks this season.
Yes.
Danielle Hunter has 4 sacks this season. So they'll be coming off both edges against tackles that we really don't love right now.
And again, they can't sack you if you don't drop back. And we've sat here and talked about success rate. We've talked about rushing efficiencies and EPAs. We've talked about early down. I'm with Harbs on this one. They just need to, like, if it's a 3-and-out and you don't turn it over and Derrick Henry got 3 chances to try to wear down their pass rushers, yeah, like, you're calling that a win.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. This isn't going to be a bomb.
This is like high school football.
Yes. Mm. This is not going to be Cooper Rush.
I mean, we're literally just playing field position, yeah, and yeah, we like Big Looper kicking outdoors, and their kicker doesn't kick outdoors, and we'll play for three. We need 35 yards to get in range for him. Let's try to run it 8 times for 35 yards.
By the way, lost in yesterday's game, or Sunday's game, excuse me. I think it's safe to say Big Looper's legit.
Big Looper looks the part.
He looks the part big time, and he didn't have one of those kickoff issues.
He's struggling with that, but that's going to be a big adjustment for him.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know how much other games you watch, but the Cowboys kickers, Brandon Aubrey's really good at those. He can do it. Literally, what Loop's been trying to do, Aubrey does every time. Every single time.
We'll get there.
So it takes a lot of practice. But, yeah, I think you're right, Jason. I think that Derrick Henry is not going to see a lot of joy, but he's going to see a lot of carries, and you hope that there's a couple of chunk plays in there to help you with field position.
I mean, Justice Hill's not going to have 8 targets in this game. Something's wrong. If he doesn't have 8 to 10 targets, something's wrong. Then you know what? I might be there with Harbs making Monk the scapegoat.
Well, you brought up Keaton Mitchell. Is this a game to knock off? Because when he touches the ball,
instead of having Welker up, threat, who maybe catches a ball in the back of the end zone or maybe does nothing, I'd rather have an extra running back up.
I'm with you. You'd like to have that home run threat on the field.
Ravens and Texans Sunday at 1 o'clock. Remember, Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show will be live from the Horseshoe Casino starting at 10 o'clock. Hour 1, Bob Haney and myself, and then the Bone, Vinny Serrato, Mike Preston for hours 2 and 3. And coming up next, the Ravens, their defense dropping like flies. They stunk anyway. Is it Jair Alexander time? Is it time for him to step up and help save this defense? Necessary Roughness next here on The Fan.
Yeah, it's been an honest dialogue. It's just a really good conversation. He, myself, and Chuck, and Sam Rosengarten have all been involved in this, along with, obviously, the trainers. But he's doing great. And, you know, it's going to be sooner rather than later, I'll tell you that much. He's practicing. It's coming along really well. And he's jumping at the bit for sure.
So that's John Harbaugh and the Jair Alexander of it all. And the bad news is it doesn't look like Nate Wiggins is going to play Sunday. We'll see, but they haven't said anything. Marlon Humphrey's probably not playing Sunday. So guess what? It's Jair Alexander time.
Big offseason signing. Value play. Can never have too many corners. Yeah, he better be a ball player.
Yeah.
He better be a playmaker, because we all know Silent Steve, it's not the deepest pockets in the world. So they got to take one swing, and they didn't go pass rush where clearly they needed it. They didn't go D-tackle where clearly they needed it. Yet another corner. Last time we saw him play, he got disgraced. He got embarrassed. He got disgraced so badly that they buried him for 3 weeks. Now at 1-3, yeah, he's going to have to play, and he's going to have to be a player. And this is another one where if he gets unmasked by C.J. Stroud, who's lost all confidence, who doesn't have an offensive coordinator or an offensive line, and who even at the height of his powers was a different guy on the road, if Jair Alexander gets picked on in this game, I don't want to hear people calling for Harbaugh's head. Call for the GM. Let them all go. Send them all out of the building.
Yeah, he's going to have to play, and he's going to have to play a lot considering the injuries. And you better be ready to go at this point. And he's been practicing for a month.
Yeah, guys. And he's gone through like full workouts pregame in all three games since the first.
He's been practicing for a month. And the fact that he's been a healthy scratch the past 3 weeks, each week that he's a healthy scratch, it makes the week one decision that much more puzzling, the fact that he played.
Yeah, somebody told him the whole week long, don't do it. Yeah. Don't be fools. Don't be fools. Don't get conned. Don't con your fans. Yeah. Don't con Zach Orr.
But he's got to be a thing now. And
he's got to be a player. And, not a body, a player.
Yeah, and in terms of the depth chart, you're going to have Awuzie and Jair Alexander as your starting corners with no Marlon and Wiggins.
Yeah. They have not said anything on Wiggins, but that did not look good.
I can't imagine he's playing Sunday.
I don't think you're going to see him for a while.
Might be an IR guy. Yeah. Like that looked, and again, I'm no doctor, but I'll play one on the radio. It looked like he broke a bone.
Sunglasses at Night sat there and said, I don't have to do much this offseason. I mean, you know, but that's just my busy season, but I mean, this offseason, try to re-sign a couple guys. That, you know, that's it.
I did get Hamilton.
We're running it back. That's the bare minimum. You have a first-round pick who actually pans out. Not all of them do around here. Yeah, you want to keep them around for more than one bite at the apple. But, like, that in off-season don't make. Let's hold the front office to the same standard we hold the coach to. And I keep asking and waiting and wondering, like, if this one don't turn out, when does anybody sweat on the football operations side? When is there the reshuffling there? What is the equivalent move to shuffling out coordinators all the time on the coaching side? When does that happen to any DaCosta's people?
Well, you know that the coach falls on the sword first before the front office.
There's been we're about to have another defensive coordinator fired, right? So that would be two on that side of the ball.
I've been on record saying if they finish with a
losing
record. We
had the parting of the ways with Roman, and now he's calling out his good offensive coordinator. We've had a bunch of coaches on the defensive staff fired.
Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a movement with a head coach, is what I'm saying. That's right. If they finish with a losing record, given the expectations,
I don't want to hear about injuries. Get people off the street. Find people to compete. Like, the Dallas Cowboys defense isn't great. Dallas Cowboys offense isn't great. Those guys fought. They clawed.
The offense is pretty good.
They got more out of their draft picks than these guys are getting out of theirs. Like, show me something. Show me some players that I didn't know were players.
By the way, the Cowboys have that edge kid from BC who
we talked about on the show yesterday.
He looks like a
pass rusher.
Yeah, he can play.
Mike Green looks like a project.
Yes.
Which is what they always, and that's fine if you built your roster the right way to keep him a developmental project who gets bled in when it's totally conducive to him looking the part and building his confidence. But that's not the roster they built. Take injuries out of it, because I'm telling you, 36-year-old Van Noy was never getting through 18 weeks, let alone 23 or whatever you thought you were doing in the playoffs. So it was set up this way. There was never a next man up behind Ronnie Stanley. That didn't matter enough to address in the draft. That didn't matter enough to address in a meaningful way in the offseason. All right.
So, Jason, let's get to the Alexander of it all. He's practiced now for three straight weeks, has not played since week one. He's got to be better than he was in Buffalo, right? Got to be better than he was in Buffalo.
It's got to be.
Well, I mean, does he hold up? I mean, because this is not what we kind of thought the first 4 to 6 weeks could be. This is like I don't know how many reps, like I don't know how many offensive snaps the Texans are going to run. Like that has not been a balk. Like they've struggled to not go three and out. But like if there's volume, then I mean, look, or it'll be telling. He still will be the third or fourth corner. Either way, either if he's starting, then he's probably playing a fair amount, and we'll see what that looks like. And if it's Tampa and TJ undrafted Tampa kids in front of him, then that's going to be very telling.
It'd be extremely telling. And you're right. Even if he comes back, you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to injuries in general, where He first had the knee drain, what, the first week, second week of training?
Lickety split, right away.
Yeah, and practice,
but that was nothing. Remember,
the
that
next
was nothing.
Day. He that practiced
was
the next day, yeah. He took one day off and came back. And then he disappeared on August 14th.
Well, and
never
here's
to be
the
seen
other
again.
Thing that we're like, we're going to have to be cognizant of. So he came here thinking I could be a spare part that gets to kind of show off a little bit and
hang
improve
out with my
year,
boy Lamar.
Right? Be along for the ride and, you know, work myself back into shape and then go cash in somewhere else. That's not that. That might have been what he thought he was signing up for. That ain't this. We can't stop anybody. They should probably fire the defensive coordinator. There's nobody to replace Matabike. There was no pass rush even with Matabike. And now I might have to line up on other teams' number one receiver sometimes. Let's see how this all pans out.
Orioles had a couple interesting press conferences yesterday. We've been talking, you guys, I'm sure, talked about a lot yesterday. What did Jacob Calvin-Meyer think about what Tony Manziello and Mike Elias had to say? He covers the Orioles for the Baltimore Sun. He'll join us next. Before we step out, 410-583-1057. You want two tickets to see MGK and Wiz Khalifa? That's 6/3/26. That's June 3rd of 2026 at Jiffy Lube Live. 410-583-1057. Two tickets to see MGK and Wiz Khalifa at Jiffy Lube Live.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.